Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinized. All things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
That's what Redneckinized is all about, is when everything goes wrong, and the job's still got to get done when you redneckinize, and that's what we're all about. So tell us what you think. 515-602-9731, that's the number to call. And I don't know, tell me what you think. We appreciate everybody calling in and supporting us. Go check out our YouTube channel and go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And, you know, checking things out and seeing how that works. Our YouTube channel has got a lot of videos talking about life on the road and of course, all of our shows that we used to do here on a while back. We did a lot of shows for the truck show and stuff like that. That all got put on YouTube. We did a lot of videos talking about directing to the four-wheelers on how to drive around big trucks, and those have been with, you know, positive feedback on all those. And, of course, just talking about, you know, how the different parts of the trucking industry work and how, you know, being an owner-operator, being a lease operator, doing lease purchase, all those kind of things that a lot of truck drivers, you know, you, really, if you go around talking to a lot of people, I mean, I remember back in the day, you go around talking to people, man, you would get about 14 different answers from 10 different drivers to one question. And I even had, I remember one time, I'll tell you this funny story. I was actually, we were sitting around. I really wasn't in the conversation. I was kind of just sitting there listening to it. And there was, you know, about four or five drivers sitting around a picnic table. And one guy asked a question about fuel surcharge. And this guy, he says, well, the fuel surcharge is what the government reimburses you for the price of fuel because fuel is so expensive. So that's what the fuel surcharge is. The government actually reimburses you. And I'm like, that's not it at all. Get out of here. I mean, come on. Who told this guy that? And why would you even believe it, right? But that's what he said, that's what the fuel surcharge was. And, you know, back in the day, even spot markets, a lot of the spot markets that you get, there is no fuel surcharge. You know, we know that, you know. But then there's also, if you're leased onto a carrier, well, the carrier always factors in a fuel surcharge because that's the benefit of being a lease carrier or leased on to a carrier, being an owner-operator, is that, you know, some of the perks you get are because they went out and booked the freight, and then the freight rates get set by the customers negotiating with the carrier, and then they call you up and say, well, this is what it's paying because this is what we negotiated. And, of course, fuel surcharge is added into that. Any kind of deal you work out, if, let's say that you got your own authority and you're going to make a deal with a carrier, what you're going to do is you're going to set a flat rate, and then you're going to set a fuel surcharge. Because what you want to do is you want to tell that carrier that the great thing about a fuel surcharge is it actually benefits the carrier more than anyone. Because what it tells the carrier is that you're not going to pay a high rate when the fuel price is low. So when the fuel price goes down, the fuel surcharge goes down, which means the rate goes down, right? But it benefits the driver or the owner of the carrier or whoever is collecting the check. It benefits whoever's buying the fuel, because when the fuel price goes up, that means the rate goes up. So you're not always, you're pretty much guaranteed that you're never going to pay out of pocket for the fuel costs once the fuel price goes up. That's all negotiated between you and the carriers. A lot of carriers, they do the research and they set the rates on the fuel surcharge. You know, they'll negotiate. That's all negotiated. It's all negotiated. It's not a government set rate. You know, there might be a ballpark because based on like $1.25 price of fuel and all that, and you can kind of go by that. But some of them set it at $1.50. Some of them set it at $2. You know, it's all negotiated. So and that's some of the drivers. They just don't get that. They don't get it at all. They don't even understand it. And there's a lot of hoopla about that kind of stuff, even with using fuel cards. There's a lot of big deal about using a fuel card. I even have people that I work for in a big company, and they don't realize. They don't even know. All they know is that the price of fuel that the truck stop is charging, and when you see it on the sign, they are assuming that this big carrier that I drive for, the company driver, they're assuming that the carrier is paying that price. And we all know that's not true. And then one guy said, well, it might be like carriers, the bigger the carrier, the better the discount they get. and some of those discounts are really, really good. You know, it's almost like they're buying the fuel at cost, and like, what is it, cost plus one, which is cost plus a penny. You know, so they're not really paying that much for fuel at all, because that it's the volume. That's what the truck stops want. They want you to buy fuel at their place, and they're going to always set that up as a good, you know, if you buy a lot of fuel, then you got a lot of power, a lot of buying power, and they're going to give you the biggest discount they can to try to make sure that you're, that's the only truck stop that you're buying fuel from. It might be through the card. The card might give you the discount just so they know, hey, whatever, you know, as long as you're using my card, I'll give you the biggest discount, that kind of thing. So, and all that stuff's negotiable. And a lot of truck drivers, they just don't realize that. You know, they don't realize how that works. So we try to help them out here, Redneck and Eyes Radio. You know, a lot of things that we've seen throughout the industry, a lot of opinions we have, and, you know, some of it all is just opinion. Some of it we just, like I said, years of experience. Whatever we can do to help. You can just call 515-602-9731 is the phone to call in. That is the, you can chime in, you can press 1 to be part of the conversation, or you can just listen along. And we're also on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. That's the website that you can go in and search for our channel there. And all the old shows are always on there, on the audio versions. You can get them on there, and it's a great way to just catch up on all what we're talking about, what we're doing. So that's a good thing. And, getting ready for the president's address. That's all I can tell you. Well, anyway, what are you guys talking about? I saw on there there's a meteor shower going on right now. They say that the peak of the meteor shower is going to be tomorrow night. They say Wednesday. I mean, it might be tonight. I really, you know, when I read it, it said Wednesday night, but then it said 4 a.m., so that might be Thursday morning is what they're talking about. But the meteor shower that I can't remember pronouncing the name is correct, some kind of, you know, funny scientific space name they gave it. But it goes on for like days and days, but it's mostly in the southern hemisphere. But sometimes you can see it from, you know, if you're north of the equator, but it's like really early in the morning. So shooting stars, whatever. I've been seeing them a lot lately. I got about two or three in my memory bank that I saw driving down the road. And it's more common than you realize when you start working nights like I do. I mean, you start seeing it like maybe, you know, every couple of weeks you'll see a shooting star, which, of course, we know is a meteor entering Earth's atmosphere. So pretty cool. If you get a chance to see any of that stuff, I just advise you to always do it. I remember one time I caught a glimpse of the Northern Lights when I was up in Minnesota, and it was real faint. I mean, you could barely see it, but it was there, and, you know, it was nice. Always good to see that kind of stuff, see what nature has to offer. We don't get to see that, and we as truck drivers benefit that pretty good, so we're pretty happy with that. Yep. So, tell me what you got. Like I said, I'm just kicking back here, and we're just celebrating life on the road. Give us a call, 515-602-9731, and this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. each time, right here, Redneck and Eyes Radio, redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody's support.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you've got a Redneck and Eyes.
the side of the road. He said I'd walk 100 miles, but I got nowhere to go. Back in my time, I was a kid that had a head full of dreams. I'm now a drifter with a pack of cigarettes in my jeans. I'm a one-man circle, says I'm walking the line. I lost a Chevy tank of gasoline in the state 69. I had the roof down, singing with my head in the sun. I never had a job, I just had plenty of fun. I said I ain't got much, but I got somewhere to go. I got a case full of clothes and a bottle of Jack. He said, okay, sir, and climbed up into the back. He asked me where we were heading. I said, I really don't care. I'm just a drifter and I'm happy when I'm heading nowhere. I got 16 bucks, but Joe, you ain't got a dime. But it doesn't really matter when we're just killing time.
Everybody, welcome back in. This is Ed with Redneck and I Radio. Appreciate everybody joining us. 515-602-9731. That's the phone number. Give us a call. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're just Redneck and I Radio live, talking about all things trucking and insults. I'm just getting ready for the presidential address. I'm not really sure if I'm going to watch it or listen to it or whatever. I just know that it's got your gobbledygook. You know, it's just a big, what do they call, you know, it's a show, right? That's all it is. It's become that where, you know, it's got to be about presentation. It doesn't, substance, they don't really matter. They don't, you know, they can say whatever they want. You don't have to lie, or you don't have to tell the truth. You can lie. Okay. Nobody's going to say nothing. I mean, as long as you've got the media backing you up, you can say whatever you want, right? But that's the way it is, and, you know, I guess that's the world we live in. So, in my pickup truck, I had to get some Freon for my air conditioner. The weather's kind of warming up, and even when it's kind of, you know, halfway decent outside, it's still the sun going down and heats up in your vehicle pretty quick. So I had to get some Freon, and I stopped by the store, and all of the Freon here in Texas is just like California now. They're all resealable containers. It's the containers that have the Freon in them. I guess they got a little ball inside them or some kind of little valve on the top part of it there. And you push in the valve, and it'll release it into the whatever you got, you know, the little hose or system charger, whatever you got. But when you release, if you still got Freon in there, you can take the can off of the deal, and it'll save it. It won't release it like it used to. I remember seeing these back in California. I don't know if any truck drivers up there do their own AC work, but California had it to where you had to have, I forgot what they're called now, the actual cans, you know, you had to have a special adapter, and all the cans had that where they had a valve on them, but they'd be resealable where they wouldn't release any extra Freon into the air. And actually, California's law is that there was a core charge for the empty cans. So once you use the Freon and you were ready to get rid of the can, you had to take the can back. They would charge you an extra $10 or $15 on top of the charge of the Freon. Even at Walmart, you would be charged an extra $10, and you had to bring the can back, the empty can back, to get your $10 back. I asked the guy here selling it at the auto parts store, and, you know, he didn't know that was the case. He don't even know if it's a law in Texas. I asked him. I didn't know for sure whether or not it was a law or not that those kind of cans had to be sold in Texas. But my understanding is that it's probably cheaper to make all the Freon in that can. That way they can ship it to wherever they want. You know, they can ship it to California, they can ship it to wherever, even probably New York, probably, or Illinois, or or even Florida might even have the same law where it's got to be one of those cans that was a resealable top where it doesn't release any extra in the air. So when more and more states pass those laws, then it just makes sense to have all the cans made that way. That way it's not that big of a deal. A lot of times when you see new cars being made, or even trucks for that matter, they all will cater to whichever state is the strictest. That way they can just make one part for one car for all the cars and not have to worry about whether or not it's going to comply with one state or not. You see that a lot of small engines like APUs and even like lawnmowers or any kind of generators. You see a lot of them on there where they're California compliant. They're $100 to $500 more expensive for a generator to get it California compliant rather than just having one straight up that's not California compliant but it's legal to buy in any other state. So you'll see that come down the pipe where everything has got to be California compliant because it's just cheaper to make the devices for, you know, one state and then everybody else just buy them. Of course, we know, and a lot of times you see that where we don't want to do that. We don't want to buy something that has an extra part on it or extra problems that might cause extra problems. You know, just like we see with all these fancy trucks that came out in like 2010 and 2007, you know, where the technology wasn't properly tested back then, and you had a lot of problems back then. You know, nowadays we they understand the technology a little better, so the trucks do it better with that newer technology. But back then it was horrible because they just mandated and they didn't even know if the technology would work or not. And so that's the thing about I don't know if we want the technology to work and we want it to be good and we want it to have clean air and we want it to have good fuel mileage and all that, but really we don't want to be forced upon it, right? That's what everybody says. You know, the funny thing about it, and irony really hits you, is that back in the day, this was like in the 70s and 80s, remember when all the cars, like if you had a regular car, a pickup truck, and it had written on the side of it. I mean, I remember this might have been like an 84 Chevy pickup truck, and on the side of the pickup truck, it had EFI, electronic fuel injector. And it was like a new technology, and everybody was happy about it. And you act. Sometimes you even had to order it extra, like you could still buy cars with carburetors. And the new technology was electronic fuel injection. Well, there in the 80s, the trucking industry was fighting like hell. They didn't want to go to electronic fuel injection. They didn't want to put computers on the engine. You know, they like to where you can wind up that engine and keep that rubber band tight. Throw that turbo into full, you know, full power, and then get up that hill or pull that load. And they fought it. I mean, they were just, no, we don't want that. You can't. The electronic won't work. And the government said you're going to have to because emissions and all the fuel savings are going to be in the computer. Well, they said okay, we'll look into it. Well, they did, and they found out, you know what, this really works. And they found out they can control the diesel fuel getting into the injectors. They can control the amount of exhaust being let out. They can control the combustion timing and all that stuff. And so now every great engine out there, when you see like the Cummins and the Detroit Diesel, Series 60 especially, they make those electronic engines. Back in the day, those were great engines. You know, once they figured out the technology, once they could make it work, they did it. But again, the government did kind of say, hey, you need to kind of go with it. So nowadays, yeah, it worked. It took a little while, but it worked. We didn't like it being forced on us. I don't know. Maybe things are going to get forced on us from here on out. That's just the way it's going to be. You know, nobody likes electronic logs. I mean, I still don't like them every now and then, but I tell you what, I love not having to write up a log every day. You know, when I don't have to be creative and I can just let the computer do the thing, then I love my electronic log. You know, when I get into a jam, and I figure out that I got the customer giving me delays or whatnot, or the weather or the traffic causing problems, can't get creative. You know, you can't think about that kind of stuff. So that's where e-logs don't, you know, nobody likes them. So that kind of thing, you just don't know what's going to happen. All you can do is hope for the best. And I don't know. It's one of those conundrums, you know. Do we like the stuff being mandated, or would you rather be able to use it at our leisure and not be forced to do it and not be controlled like that? I think I'd like to do that. I'd like to be able to use it when I want to, but not be controlled. You know, there were tons of people, even drivers that worked for Landstar, that were using electronic logs. But the company they were leased to, they weren't on electronic logs. They said, well, you still got to send us your logs because we have to keep them on file. That's a DOT requirement. So you had drivers that had laptops with printers, and every day they'd finish that logbook, they'd print out the log, and then they'd have to take it into a truck stop and scan it. You know, every time they ended a trip, they would scan the logs that they printed. And, I mean, they were doing that way before. It was like maybe 10 years before the mandate for e-logs came down the pipe. You know, so yeah, it's just those things. You never know what might happen. Something new may come up. Something new may get mandated. You just never know. But I don't know. Tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. I'm just kicking back here. I'm heading back to the house. I went and visited the family. My mother's birthday was yesterday. We had a good time, went out to eat. That's another story altogether. I'll tell you all about that in a second. But I'll tell you what, I don't know what we're going to do when it comes to finding good service in this country. Everything has gone to crap. But holler at me, 515-602-9731. Go check us out at redneckandeyes.com, where you'll find links to all of our social media accounts. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, also YouTube. Appreciate everybody subscribing to that YouTube channel. That's been great for us. Keep it up. So check us out, and I don't know, we'll go from there. What do you know? This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a second.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters. DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
That had a head full of dreams. I'm now a drifter with a pack of cigarettes in my jeans. I'm a one-man circle, says I'm walking the line. I lost a Chevy tank of gas on Interstate 69. I had the roof down, singing with my head in the sun. I never had a job, just had plenty of fun. Jack. He said, okay, sir, and climbed up into the back. He asked me where we were heading. I said, I really don't care. I'm just a drifter and I'm happy when I'm heading nowhere. I got 16 bucks, but Joe, you ain't got a dime. But it doesn't really matter when we're just killing time.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and I's Radio. Appreciate everybody joining us here. Give us a call, 515-2-9731. Be on the conversation with Tip 1. It is about 20 till, 8 o'clock on the East Coast, 7 o'clock in Texas. I'm down here. I'm driving back to the house. Everybody's having a good time. We spent last night celebrating my mother's birthday, and we went out to dinner, and we went to a restaurant, and it was so funny to me because it wasn't that crowded. Of course, it was on the Monday night. It, like, took forever to get anything done. I mean, a long time. And then when you kind of look around for somebody that works there, you couldn't find nobody. And, I mean, you know, we're kind of not really pushy people or whatever. But we actually ordered some food to go once we were done. We're still waiting on that, and that took a while. And I kind of told my brother, I said, hey, we need to go find somebody before any of us go, you know, find out what's going on here. And we'll finally get everything we need. Out there, and come to find out, there's like 5 employees sitting up front in the little waiting area on the bench, all on their cell phones. They're just hanging out, you know, scoping on whatever you do, TikTok, whatever they're doing, just waiting for, I guess, closing time, because there was only like maybe 5 tables being used at the time, and I don't know, maybe all the waiters weren't working, I don't know. But it just seemed like to me they were just sitting there doing nothing, and I don't know if they were collecting a paycheck or not, if they were getting paid by the hour or whatever, you never know.
Wait,
hang on. Looks like we got some people chiming in here. Can you hear me?
You might want to turn the music down so nobody can hear you over all the music playing.
Can't even hear us.
Oh, there we go. There it is. How about that?
Well, that's better. Yeah, we've called in, and you couldn't hear nothing because of the music.
Oh, no, I mean, earlier I wasn't talking because of the music. I was taking a break.
Yeah, but it was, that we can understand. But, I mean, it was some sort of, it sounded like it was music from the show itself and not what you put on.
How long we do this before she hung up?
Yeah, because Lou was on too for a while.
She's good.
No, it was Lou.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know who that was. Nobody. Yeah, everything seemed to be working. It just couldn't hear me.
Yeah, because Greg tried calling in. It wouldn't work. And I said, well, it has to because, you know. And I pulled it up and looked, and I said, well, it's on. Because if it was waiting on a host, it wouldn't have showed. It would have told you that.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was working. I just, maybe I had that music turned up too loud, but that's other than that.
Okay. Yeah, because Greg was trying to call in to listen to it because we just got done with dinner and everything, so he said he'd call and listen for a little bit.
Yeah, I was actually talking on here getting ready for the State of the Union address. Woohoo!
Oh, yeah, that's right. Got to listen to that tonight.
Yeah, one of the bets is that, okay, so is Biden going to be late or is he going to be on time? Because he's late to everything.
It don't matter because when he is on time, he's still late.
Exactly. Or
yeah,
even
the
if
he
is, even if he is late, the media will just say, you know, hey, it's Joe Biden. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But also the other challenge is that how many times, if any, will he whisper?
Right. That's about it.
Did you hear about that train derailment, Ed?
Yeah, I did. As soon as I heard that it was Eastern Ohio, I'm like, you know, I should go ahead and message him and ask him, but then I looked up where it was, and I'm like, and then they said that that one town was under evacuation and not like the whole area, so I figured y'all didn't get affected that bad.
Wow.
No. Yeah, my daughter, her and her boyfriend, the grandbaby, left up there, but they weren't in the evacuation zone. They were outside of what they were considering the zone, but with Wayland being so little, they decided it was best to leave.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. When I heard about that, I always see. So when something bad happens in Texas, I'll get a phone call or some kind of message from all my relatives in South Carolina. You know, something's going to explode in Amarillo, and they'll call and say, "Are you okay? Was that by you?" Like, how little do you think Texas is?
Right. But what was funny was not funny, but like with that train derailment, the tracks get right past my daughter's house, and somebody in New Waterford, which New Waterford's like 4 miles, 5 miles outside of East Palestine, had a door cam video of the train going by with one of the axles on fire. You know,
you didn't see it. It was glowing white hot when it went by there. Now, how far did that train go? I put a post on Facebook. They was all on it. I put a post on there. I said, when the hell, the NTSB and stuff. I said, when the hell are they going to start putting stringent regulations and inspections on them trains? Like, if they put half the regulations on them trains they got on the trucks, they wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because they're having a hell of a lot of train issues and wrecks and stuff anymore. Hell, that's the second one right here around us and last 6 months.
Yeah, because the other one was down here.
The other one was right down here below us, down here upper, right down here along the river, Toronto, hitting up the whole load of trash in the river.
Yeah.
Garbage and stuff went in the river because it derailed. There's no sense in it. You know, they got no oversight. They got, you know, why don't they have inspectors out there inspecting them train cars before they can ever be loaded? They should have to be, where's their free trip tonight?
Yeah, well, not only that, just imagine how bad these roads are. Just imagine how bad them train tracks are.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I want to see them engineers get out and go back through there and pre-trip that whole damn train. 120
yep.
30 cars. I want to see them go back through there and pre-trip every one of them. They make
that's the other thing I think.
For a trip.
Yeah, I think all that. I'm assuming that that's probably heavily regulated, but I think they probably should shorten those trains up. They're making them too damn long. And you know, I don't know. I just think that they're probably getting away with, like you're saying, they're getting away with a lot of crap.
Yeah, they're not that heavily regulated, because if it was, there wouldn't be the problems they got.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they're regulated, yeah, but they're also government funded. Government pays them a hell of a lot. It ain't been too long ago they was wanting to go on strike because they wanted more money. Hell, they can't even take care of it for their employees. They can't even take care of their damn equipment.
I don't know. Whole damn country went to hell.
So the other thing was, is I went by the, I needed some Freon from a pickup truck, and I went by the O'Reilly's Auto Parts, and they have all of their Freon cans are like the ones they sell in California where they have their resealable tops on.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that everybody's starting to sell those now. Like the ones you got to buy in California where they're resealable.
Yeah, you got to have a little plastic piece that screws onto the top of it that shows like a Schrader valve that goes down, and you screw the hose on top of that.
Yep. Because, I remember going to California one time and I needed some Freon, and I went into Walmart. And, of course, truck drivers, you know, when we buy stuff, we don't plan on coming back to California anytime soon. Well, so I just wanted to buy some Freon before I left the state, and you know, I was in the area where I was going to be, you know, still in California for another 3 or 4 hours. My AC wasn't working. Well, they wanted a $10 or $15 core charge for those cans. They want you to bring those cans back.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
So, yeah, that's a pain in the ass in California now.
Mind. Just take a can out there and pierce it and spray it all over to spray it up in the air out there and take it back into them.
They'll lose their mind. They'll commit suicide right there on the sidewalk.
Hey, you got the cops after you, they'd be out there ready to shoot you.
No, it's supposed to be ozone safe.
Uh-huh, they still say
that 134A is supposed to be, it's not supposed to hurt the environment. That's why they took the R-12 away. And
right.
They're jackasses. Huh.
Sure as hell you need no air conditioning up here. It was nice today. It was probably, what, 50-something up here today. Well, this weekend, or one day this week, supposed to be, yeah, Thursday, it's supposed to be like 60 degrees up here.
Goodness.
These assholes will be out trying to, they'll be out trying to open their pools up.
Well, Robert's going to take his bike out. Dinner.
Yeah, everybody talking about getting their bikes out up here Thursday. Oh, 60 degrees Thursday, it'd be a good time for a bike ride. Yeah, pouring rain down. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking my shit out. When it gets about 75 degrees out, sunny, and the roads and the gravel and stuff's all gone for the year, then maybe. And again, maybe I just leave it set there in the shed for another year.
Might have
been
shit for another year, sir. Much luck,
Chuck. I don't care. Might be an antique and won't have no miles on it.
Very true.
Might be like an old panhead or knucklehead one of these days. It'll be worth a fortune because they ain't got no miles on it. Said, don't lowball me. I know what I got.
You bring it down here to South Texas and throw another $5,000 on it. That's how much they're going
more
for down here.
Yeah, because it's only got like 20-some thousand on it, 20,000. Ain't got no miles on it. It's an 04.
Yep. I already got 14 on mine.
Holy shit. Hell, yours is damn near new, ain't it?
It's a 2020.
That's what I thought. I thought you got it. I thought it was damn near new. You bought it used, didn't you?
Yeah, I bought it a year old.
That's what I thought.
It had 4,200 on it when I got it in December of 21.
Yeah, by the time you go out and get a new one.
Yeah. Yeah, one of our guys here, he had two bikes, and he traded them both in. He got him a new Street Glide, so I guess he's pretty happy with that.
I think I'm going to take mine and Tiff's boat and the Kawasaki and trade all three of them and go out and buy me a little huffy bicycle. Because they ain't going to do nothing but set the garage anyhow, so hell, a huffy takes up less room than a motorcycle.
Right.
I just push it in there, put the kickstand down, I don't have to worry about it.
Throw it in the back of the pickup.
Shit, it goes in the back of that pickup. I swear some of it will stay because I ain't riding. I might ride that son of a bitch. If I broke down, it was pouring rain down, I might ride to the closest store just to get in out of the rain, wait on somebody to come pick my ass up. And then again, I might just sit there in the car. That's what cell phones was made for.
Right.
You're watching breakdown tire on the bicycle, you flat, you wouldn't have
no. It wouldn't have no cell service, that's right. That'd be my luck. Have a flat tire on the bicycle, the truck broke down, and I wouldn't have no cell service. Yeah, that'd be just about my luck. So you got to get back to running, working?
Yeah. The weather's nice now, so everybody's ready to work. Down here, when it gets below 40, everybody freaks out.
Oh. Damn. 40 degrees up here, my people wearing shorts and T-shirts.
I know.
Sitting outside having barbecues and everything else.
They said that freight in Texas has picked up tremendously since everybody's moved here. All these companies moving here,
money,
moving the freight. Yeah, I know.
What kills me, he keeps saying, oh, freight's starting to pick up, freight's starting to pick up. Well, too bad the money ain't. They still want you to haul,
and
the fuel goes down a little bit and goes right back up.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is like this time of year, because all these guys that run out of Iowa and Chicago and Detroit, they all come down here and run in the warm weather until the weather gets better. So the freight rates ain't going to pick up here in Texas until that happens, until they leave.
Yeah, well, you ain't going to worry about me because I ain't coming down there.
Yeah. Well, then, though, the truck drivers that are based in Texas, I mean, they run for chump change, man. They don't upcharge their money at all.
Nope.
They're
That's
always
crazy.
Working cheap. Yep. Yeah.
And it don't make any sense to me why they do that, because all they're doing is hurting themselves.
I know.
Now, everybody wants all the money, but then, you know, they want, or all the freight, but then, you know, after they get it, then they can't move it all, but they want everybody else haul for nothing.
Well, I mean, my case in point is those guys that run pipe out of Houston. They run flatbed, right? They run that pipe out to West Texas. It's made in Houston. So
right.
they got to truck it out to West Texas. Well, then they deadhead back because they're only making like $5 a mile to take it out there. And they're like, oh yeah, that's good money. We can deadhead back. I was like, that's nothing, man. You should be making like $10 a mile is what you should be making.
Right.
But it cracks me up how they think that, I don't know, it's just, you know, because there is no freight back. I mean, you might be able to pick something up going to Dallas, but it ain't going to get you back to Houston.
Yeah, well, Donnie came down here, went down there out there to Chandler, and he sat out there for, what, 3 days, 4 days? And then he ended up, the only thing he got there, he ended up deadheading from there all the way up between, right there around, somewhere around between Fort Worth and Dallas. To load up some kind of crates up for Lockheed Martin going over to Johnstown, PA. And he loaded them last Friday and delivered them Monday. That's crazy.
Yep, it is.
Nothing. There's nothing there. Nothing anywhere. And I took a load the other day. I went out Sunday night, took a load up Butler, Indiana, and unloaded. Took 25,000 up. They unloaded them two rolls and put a 12,000-pound roll right back on me, and I brought it right back to camp and unloaded it. Come on. I've been here ever since. I was here all day today. I got home yesterday morning and about, what, 10 o'clock, something like that, 10:30. I've been home ever since. When I pissed around my pickup earlier and adjusted my headlights, I had to put new lights, the headlights in it. I put the headlights in it and adjusted it, just pissed with it. That's all I've done. I figured she'd have called me with something, but she didn't, so I was sitting here waiting on her, waiting on dispatch call. She calls, she don't, she knows where I live.
That's how it is.
Yeah, she will tomorrow. Tomorrow's what, Wednesday? Yeah, she'll call tomorrow. She'll have something to take me out Thursday. I'll be back here Thursday night, Friday morning. Cat fight going on in there somewhere.
Leave her alone. Hey, sir.
What's she doing?
Damn.
Take a paper to her ass.
Where's the water bottle?
No, I'll use a water bottle. I'll take a newspaper. I'd tear their ass up just like I do the dogs. Take them cats and start swinging on them with a newspaper, man. You won't see a cat in here for 2 hours.
She just walks her paper.
Oh, yeah.
She runs.
I really don't. I'm at the point I don't give a damn if a cat comes around me or anybody. I just stay away from me. Just go.
We got a new one.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Damn.
She's only got another cat in here now.
Jeez.
Every stray cat that walks up the street, if it's hungry and needs a home, tips her huckleberry.
All I did was feed her. She comes and goes as she pleases. She always seems to come instead of go.
Yeah, she comes in the house and then at night, and then she lets her out during the day, and she'll go outside for a while, and then she comes back home and jumps up in the window out here in the living room window, and that means she wants back in the house. She opens the door, and she comes in. When she wants out, she'll start begging to go out. Open the door and let her out. I think that's what you need to do with all of them. Teach them all to do that.
Yeah, but none of ours will do that. They've never been outside.
Have you tried it?
You put Chrissy out to what she does.
No, I'm not talking about cats. I'm talking about you.
There's probably cats down in Mexico that are trying to make their way up to your house in Ohio.
I wouldn't doubt it. I would not doubt it.
That was funny.
If you're hungry and you need a good home, make your way up to Ohio. There's somebody that'll take care of you up there.
Yeah. They'll be smuggling cats up through here, man. Illegal cats end up through here. Some bitch be coming up here with brand new Nike harnesses on, and yeah.
That one, there was an episode I was watching of that TV show Mom, and the one lady, she just was losing all hope for life and everything, and she's like, I just might as well become an old cat lady. Like, so do I need to go to a shelter, or the cats show up automatically?
Yeah. Give her our phone number. Tip can fill her in on
yeah,
how
right?
to do it. Oh, man.
Yep.
I sent you a picture of the new one, Ed.
Oh, damn.
All right, I think we need to box it up and send it to you.
He's a cute little
thing. Yeah, she's a good little cat, though. She's tiny. She ain't nothing to her. She's a nice cat. I mean, just as timid, nice as you ever want. There was a black one walking down the ditch. It's been around here for a while. It's walking down through here. I was hoping to God it didn't find its way over to the door tonight.
No, it's a mean ass. He'll let you pet him and then he attacks you.
He wouldn't attack me. The first time he jumped on me, attacked me, and scratched me, he'd find his ass on the end of my boot going over top of the neighbor's shed.
Demon. They've all lost their minds.
All right, well, I'll get off here.
All
now.
Right.
Let you get ready. Didn't accomplish nothing, but we got that all straight out and see what, so you can get ready to go to work.
Sounds good.
Need to go out. Oh, no, you can watch the, yeah, it's coming on now, huh?
He'll
work
for 9 or something.
No, he needs an 8, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you do? Listen to it on the radio. XM.
Yeah, it'll be on there. Yeah, there's a lot of podcasts. A lot of podcasts will do it live. They'll have it on,
right,
and then they'll talk about it and all that too, yeah.
Huh. All right, I'll let you go. I'm going to get ready to go in there and start
right
listening
now.
To it.
See what that lion bastard's got to say, too.
Sounds good.
See you later. All right,
now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good deal. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Everybody have a great night. Again, this is Redneck and I's Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. That's the phone number. And go check us out at redneckandi's.com. Please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. And we'll see you guys up and down the road. All right, now. Later on.